The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jory Slodke for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Discover. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the May-June 2025 issue. We begin with our cover story, Bodies of Knowledge. Mummies have mystified and fascinated humankind for centuries, but thanks to modern science, they've enlightened us as well. Here's what we've learned from some of the most famous preserved bodies in history. Dead men and women do tell tales, but sometimes it's in a language that only science can translate. Whether mummified according to ancient rituals and techniques, or fortuitously conserved by the vagaries of nature itself, millennia-old bodies and the ways in which they perished or were preserved continue to shed new light on the eras and cultures from which they came, and ultimately on the human condition itself. While the ancient Egyptians command the spotlight when it comes to mummies and the practices that so carefully safeguarded their honored remains, modern archaeologists and researchers have gleaned as much, if not more, data and insight from the mummies who were inadvertently preserved after succumbing to the forces of nature, or possibly following an execution, murder, or the brutal rituals of a culture that practiced human sacrifice. Meet these ancestors of humanity now and discover how their endings have served as the beginning of new understanding about the lives and times in which they lived and died. All eyes on Utsi, the oldest mummy ever found so far. In 1991, two German tourists were hiking in the Ötztal Alps, a mountain range shared by Austria and Italy, when they stumbled upon the frozen remains of a dead man. The ice preserved the man so well that his body, clothes, and tools never decomposed. His real name lost to time, scientists dubbed him Ötzi the Iceman and began studying the naturally preserved mummy. They determined that he lived more than 5,000 years ago, which makes Ötzi the oldest mummy ever found, predating the earliest Egyptian mummy yet discovered by at least 700 years. Researchers are still studying the mountain mummy, and Ötzi the Iceman continues to unlock answers about what daily life was like thousands of years ago. In a 2003 study in Science, an international team of researchers revealed how they analyzed his teeth and bones and concluded that he had lived his life in an almost 40-mile range in the Alps. Eventually, scientists conducted whole genome sequencing on Ötzi and published their results in a 2012 study in Nature. Among their findings were some surprisingly specific facts. For example, they determined that Ötzi likely had brown eyes, was lactose intolerant, and was predisposed to coronary heart disease. He had type O blood and was probably between 40 and 50 years old when he died. Scientists also learned a great deal about his health at the time of his passing, because Ötzi's organs were remarkably well preserved. As a result, researchers found that he had blackened lungs, perhaps due to a lifetime of warming himself next to open fires. In his life, Ötzi had also suffered 8 broken ribs. Several were healed at the time of his death, but others were still mending. He had a lot of other health problems, too. His tooth enamel had decayed, and he had gum disease. He had a parasitic roundworm in his intestines, gallstones, and degenerative joint disease in his hip. The cartilage was worn down in his cervical and lumbar spine, and he had atherosclerosis, plaque buildup in his artery walls. None of these ailments killed Ötzi, but questions have surrounded his cause of death. Initially, scientists believed he may have died from exposure to freezing temperatures. However, in 2001, Researchers examined a wound he had suffered from an arrowhead buried in his left shoulder and concluded that he was shot from behind with an arrow. Based on an analysis of his stomach contents, researchers do have an understanding of how Otzi spent his last days. Before he died, he moved from higher up in the Alps to a lower altitude. He then returned to the glaciers above. The area where the hikers found him was once a mountain pass. While we likely can't know what motivated his movements near the end of his life, scientists believe Otzi was attacked twice during his transit up and down the mountains. He had a stab wound in his hand, and the arrow wound is believed to have fatally pierced his left subclavian artery. However he died, the man we now know as Otzi revealed a wealth of information about how he lived. Before his discovery, researchers could only guess what people wore around 3300 BCE, because organic materials tend to decompose over time. The ice in which he was entombed preserved Otzi's clothes, however, and scientists were able to analyze the materials from which they were made and determine their origin. In a 2010 study in Chimia, a team of scientists studied the proteins in the hairs on his clothing and compared them with living animals. When he died, Otzi was wearing clothes made from several types of animal hide. He wore a fur cape made of bear hide, leggings from a sheep, and the upper leather of his moccasins came from cattle. On further analysis, they found that Otzi's clothing had gone through a tanning process using animal fats. This prompted researchers to suggest that Otzi was a member of a more developed society of farmers and ranchers, not hunters or nomads. His shoes were stuffed with grass, likely to add more warmth. He also had an exterior coat made from woven grass. Based on the clothes, researchers believe he was likely a farmer or shepherd, not someone of elite status. Although Otzi may not have been in the upper echelon of his society, an analysis of his stomach contents revealed that he was well-fed and mainly ate meat and vegetables. Otzi got quite a bit of ink during his lifetime. He has 61 tattoos concentrated on 19 areas of his body. Although the tattoos might have had symbolic or spiritual meaning, scientists believe they were medicinal and meant for preventative or curative purposes. For example, he has bluish-black lines drawn in parallels over the worn cartilage in his lumbar region. The tattoos might have been intended to ease pain or stiffness. Several of his tattoos were darker than others, which implies he might have been intentionally inked in the same spot on multiple occasions. The tattoos have prompted some researchers to suggest that ancient Europeans living in the Alps also practiced a form of acupuncture. Scientists continue to study Otzi the Iceman, his tattoos, clothing, and tools. Although not all of the mysteries about him will be solved, many questions about life in the Copper Age may have been answered and will be answered in the future thanks to this unique emissary from humanity's past. DNA analysis redefines what Otzi looked like. We know that Otzi was a short and slender man, an estimated 110 pounds. Aside from obvious physical features, researchers have learned many other details of his life from DNA analysis, including Otzi's skin color and ancestry. For example, it's now believed that Otzi was much balder and darker skinned than initially believed. Otzi hailed from a relatively isolated group of farming people and not from steep herders. In 2012, when researchers published the first genome of Otzi, they concluded that the Iceman had light brown skin during his lifetime that became darker during the mummification process. New analysis from a 2023 study published in Cell Genomics says Otzi's skin was truly a darker hue, however. The researchers deduced that the Iceman's skin color from 170 different genetic markers and found it to be far from the lighter shade often depicted in artistic renderings. When they compared Otzi's genome to those of other ancient Europeans, they found that he had the darkest skin tone of them all. The DNA of most present-day Europeans results from a mixture of hunter-gatherer ancestors, early farmers, and steppe herders from Eastern Europe. But Otzi came from a more secluded farming group tied in some way to the migration of early farmers from Asia Minor to Europe about 8,000 years ago. We were very surprised to find no traces of Eastern European steppe herders in the most recent analysis of the Iceman genome, said Johannes Kraus, head of the Department of Archaeogenetics at the Max Planck Institute for Evolutionary Anthropology, in a statement. The proportion of hunter-gatherer genes in Otzi's genome is also very low. Cracking the case of 1,000-year-old mummy murders. Mummified remains from 1,000 years ago reveal the brutality of ancient life. Though we tend to think that the ancient world was teeming with violence, is that idea actually accurate? A 2022 Frontiers in Medicine study of millennium-old South American mummies says yes. It states that two of the three specimens involved in the investigation showed signs of being brutally murdered. The prevalence of violence in the ancient world is a question that some scientists have attempted to answer through the analysis of ancient remains. Skulls and skeletons have already revealed that more than 20% of the remains of pre-colonial South American males show signs of violent struggles, yet mummies remain a relatively untapped source for this sort of information. To address this, a team of researchers recently implemented non-invasive imaging techniques to study three separate mummies from South America. We show lethal trauma in two out of three South American mummies that we investigated, said Andreas Nerlich, a study author and pathologist at the Munich Clinic Bogenhausen in Germany, in a news release at the time. The types of trauma we found could not have been detectable if these human remains had been mere skeletons. Scientists know that there's more than one way to make a mummy, though the most famous method involves intentional, methodical preservation. Mummies may also take shape if the fleshy tissues of a dead body naturally dry out prior to their decomposition. This natural method occurs most often in arid areas, such as the southern zones of South America. All three of the mummies involved in this investigation likely formed through this natural method. The first, a 20 to 25-year-old male, came from the Arica region of Chile and died around 1,030 to 888 years ago. The other two, a male and female, came from the Arequipa region of Peru, with the male dying as many as 1,123 years ago, and the female dying more recently, no more than 801 years ago. After thoroughly imaging these three mummified individuals, the researchers then reconstructed their deaths to reveal that both males died as a result of vicious and deliberate violence. The first fell after being struck on the skull and stabbed in the back, while the second appeared to have been injured intentionally near the neck, succumbing almost instantaneously. Only the female died due to natural causes. The researchers say that their results may mean that the ancient world of South America was much more violent than previously thought. Importantly, the study of human mummified material can reveal a much higher rate of trauma, especially intentional trauma, than the study of skeletons, Nerlich said in the release. There are dozens of South American mummies which might profit from a similar investigation as done here. Methods for mummies. How ancient Egyptians preserved bodies for the afterlife. Preserving a dead body was a widespread practice, common to many societies in the past. Perhaps the most well-known rituals belong to the ancient Egyptians, who kept corpses intact through the ritualistic and procedural process of mummification. In fact, their practices were so successful that we still can view the mummified body of an Egyptian today, over 3,000 years after their death, and get an astonishingly good picture of what they looked like. But why preserve a body in the first place? Ancient Egyptians loved life, but also believed in immortality. This motivated them to make early plans for the afterlife, where they expected to use their physical bodies. Preserving the dead in a lifelike state was thus essential to the continuation of their lives after death, and served as the primary purpose of mummification. The Egyptians further believed that a properly mummified body housed one's soul or spirit. If the body was destroyed, the spirit could be lost and not make its entrance into the afterlife. Furthermore, that body was expected to need certain possessions and creature comforts to travel to the great beyond. This is why tomb preparation was a crucial ritual in Egyptian society, and as elaborate in its own way as the mummification of the body. This process began long before a person's death, and involved the storage of items that one might need in the afterlife, such as furniture, clothing, food, and valuables. Though the practice of mummification began in Egypt around 2600 BCE, only pharaohs were initially entitled to the process. Its prevalence slowly shifted around 2000 BCE, when commoners were also granted access to the afterworld, as long as their bodies were mummified. The recipe for preparing mummies was both elaborate and time-consuming. Researchers into the material used during mummification in ancient Egypt have revealed that the process took 70 days. During this time, priests worked as embalmers and performed rituals and prayers in addition to treating and wrapping the body. The general steps involved in the mummification process are as follows. First, internal body parts that could decay, such as the brain, were removed. All organs of the abdomen were also removed in this step, except for the heart, which was believed to be the center of a person's being. The next step involved removing all moisture from the body by covering it with natron, a type of salt that acted as both preservative and drying agent. Wrapping up the corpse was the last step in the procedure and involved more than 100 yards of linen, smeared over with a plant-based gum as a sealant. Though these were the standard steps involved in the mummification procedure, parts of the process could vary depending on one's class and status. Because mummification was expensive, cheaper alternatives were offered for the poor. Around 450 BCE, Herodotus, the ancient Greek historian, traveled to Egypt and described three different mummification methods based on social class that were offered by embalmers of the day. Rich and elite, the brain was drawn out through the nostrils using a crooked piece of iron. The contents of the belly were taken out, and the interior was cleaned using palm wine and aromatics. The belly was filled with pure myrrh, cassia, and other spices, then sewn together again. The corpse was covered in natron for 70 days. The body was washed and rolled up in fine linen and covered over with gum. Finally, the mummified corpse was returned to family members. For the middle class, syringes were filled with oil from cedar trees and injected into the abdomen, dissolving the bowels and interior organs. The body was covered with a natron treatment for 70 days, after which the cedar oil was cleaned out and the body was left as skin and bones. The body was returned to relatives in an unwrapped state. For the poor, the belly was cleansed with an oil enema. The body was covered with a natron treatment for 70 days before being returned to loved ones. Egyptian mummification became a lost art around the 4th century CE, as Rome ruled over Egypt and Christianity was on the rise. But because earlier Egyptians were masters at preserving the dead, their carefully preserved mummies have provided us with a glimpse into the rich culture and traditions of this ancient civilization. But that's not to say that corpse preservation is, well, dead. Mummification wasn't limited to Egypt, and in some ways the tradition also has transcended time. Modern-day people in Papua New Guinea still mummify their deceased, and of course, embalmers in the West often treat dead bodies to slow decomposition and allow time for funerals to take place. Even anatomical laboratories are known to use techniques that preserve bodies for medical purposes and education. What the bog bodies of Europe tell us about ancient cultures. Peat bogs naturally preserve human remains. These once-living artifacts give archaeologists a rich source of information about the lives and deaths of ancient people. In 2003, a team of workers was operating a harvesting machine that chewed through the Irish moors to extract peat, the dense, earthy material left behind in bogs as plants decay. That day, along with the heavy peat they were gathering, the team found something else entangled in the moors' churned soil. A corpse lay before them, cut in half by the machine's workings, but recognizably human, with face and hair intact. It was far from the first body discovered in the bogs. The peat bogs of Ireland, Denmark, and the UK, and other European countries have yielded human remains for well over a century. These bog bodies, some thousands of years old, have been naturally preserved by the unique conditions of the bogs, which help retain skin and internal organs. Some bodies have been intact enough to even have their fingerprints taken. Researchers have suggested a range of explanations for why the ancient bodies were left to sink into the peat bogs. Some may have been purposely buried, or perhaps drowned. Others appear to be human sacrifices. Either way, these well-preserved corpses give archaeologists an unprecedented glimpse into ancient societies. Clues from clothing items, internal organs, and even grievous injuries offer insights into the practices of cultural groups that left no written records behind. Their story, instead, is written into the bodies of those buried under the layers of cold water and decaying plant matter. The bog bodies look like mummies, but scientifically speaking, they've actually been tanned. Their shriveled, darkened skin is the result of a compound called sphagnum, created as peat moss, which makes up most of the plant matter in peat bogs, decays. The chemical reacts with the collagen in human bodies to preserve the structure of soft tissues while also acting as an antimicrobial agent. Bones, however, usually dissolve due to the acidity of peat bogs. Peat bogs are composed of a top level of living plants and older layers of dead, decaying moss underneath. Bodies deposited in the bogs sink into this underworld where chemicals like sphagnum work to preserve them for posterity. The peat bogs of northern Europe have a few other characteristics that make them ideal for body preservation. They're generally in cold climates where bodies decay more slowly. This allows them to be enveloped by the bog before decomposition sets in. Conditions underground are also mostly oxygen-free, which keeps out the aerobic bacteria that would normally break a body down. In all, well over 1,000 bodies have been found in peat bogs, more likely remain buried. The oldest so far, found in Denmark, is around 10,000 years old, but they're not all confined to the faraway past. Bodies of soldiers who died in World War II have been found in Russian wetlands. Some of the most intriguing remains, however, have come from the European Iron Age, which began around 500 BCE. A number of bodies dated to this period appear to have died violently, perhaps as sacrifices, before being buried in the peat. Tallund Man, an astonishingly well-preserved body found near Silkeborg, Denmark, dates to the 4th century BCE and was found with the noose used to hang him still looped around his neck. Nearby, another specimen dubbed Elling Woman, distinguished by the 3-foot-long braid of hair curled around her head, had also died by hanging, and a 3rd century BCE Danish specimen known as Graubau Man revealed that his throat had been cut. His facial expression, frozen in time by the peat, is one of terror and agony. What purpose these supposed sacrifices held is unclear. Some researchers have suggested that they could have been punishment for the ruling class in times of poor harvests or plagues. Connie Cavan Man, a body found in Ireland in 2003, was well-fed and his hands showed little signs of manual labor, an indication that he was likely a member of the elite. But his elevated status did little to save him. Connie Cavan Man's remains reveal he died from a number of crushing blows with an axe or similarly heavy object to the torso. Other bog bodies displaying signs of violence may have been criminals, and their burials served as punishment. Still others displayed physical deformities that may have marked them for sacrifice, either as figures of veneration or condemnation. In addition to the manner of their death, some bog bodies also contain valuable information about their lives and the societies from which they came. Because the bogs preserve not only skin, but also internal organs and sometimes even clothes, archaeologists have a wealth of material to analyze. Tallund Man, for example, had eaten a meal of porridge made with linseed, barley, and a few other native plants before his death. He was also suffering from an infection of intestinal whipworms. The Graubau Man, by contrast, had likely dined on pork as well as a barley soup. Clothes, too, give insights into ancient cultures. Though many bodies are found naked, likely because whatever they were wearing degraded over time, items of clothing do sometimes survive. Tallinn man had a pointed cap of sheepskin and wool fastened by a hide thong. The Huldramos woman, another Danish discovery, dated to about 30 CE, was wearing a wool skirt and shawl and had two lambskin capes as well as a comb made from a horn. Archaeologists can sometimes even piece together where an ancient individual traveled during their life. A technique called strontium analysis compares the ratio of different isotopes of the element in a body to the ratio found in the surrounding environment. If samples from teeth or bones differ from the local ratio, it's a sign that person either came from somewhere else or traveled during their lifetime. Archaeologists discovered that the Haraldskar woman, for example, traveled from Denmark shortly before her death around the 5th century BCE. Her trip took her to present-day Germany, Austria, or France, based on the strontium samples taken from her teeth. Additionally, some of her clothes were made from textiles sourced from far away. Collectively, the information bog bodies carry with them tells us that trade networks were active in the Iron Age of Europe, bringing in goods from afar. The people of the day had contact with other cultures and sometimes even traveled to faraway lands themselves. They dined on a wide variety of plants, and their diet shifted to meat in the cold winter months. They were proficient in textile production, and they kept animals for food, wool, and leather. And finally, they were sensitive to spiritual and superstitious currents. Human sacrifices left to the deep, dark bogs may have served different purposes and meant various things to different societies. Today, as we continue to find the bodies of ancient and not-so-ancient humans in those cold waters, we also continue to learn more about the cultures who placed them there. Sweet symmetry. Humans aren't the only ones with a soft spot for symmetry. An image from the Smith B Lab at Auburn University features the front and back sides of 13 honeycombs, built and stocked with honey by Western honeybees, so that both sides mirror each other. The associated study, published November 2024 in Current Biology, revealed that honeybees organize these structures symmetrically around a central heat source, allowing them to foster a stable thermal environment and rear larger broods. Observed across multiple honeybee species, this behavior likely evolved around 60 to 50 million years ago, suggesting that some superorganisms, or communities of organisms that act together as individuals, are sweet on symmetry too. We've run out of time for today's episode of Discover. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jory Slodke, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Discover is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call area code 919-832-5138. That number again is area code 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.